It's time for Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, the program that looks at area Catholic sports and the positive impact they have on athletes, coaches, supporters, and fans. And now, here's Will Hampton.
He is risen. Risen indeed. Hallelujah. Hope everybody had a happy Easter. This is Will Hampton back talking sports with you. Easter is a special time, of course, in all of our homes. And I hope you had fun with the family and got a chance to take a little bit of breath as before we got into all this rain. Oh, my goodness. Let's pray that it stops raining. Welcome to Catholic Sports Weekly, of course, underwritten by AAA Roofing. AAA Roofing, an Indianapolis family-owned Catholic business. AAARoofingCompany.com is the way to get a hold of them. So it's Villanova again. Second time in 3 years, the Wildcats are basketball national champions, and they did it pretty well in good fashion as they dominated. Every victory in the tournament for this Wildcat team was by double digits or more. So at least 10 points or more in every single game they won. They beat Michigan on Monday night. The final there was 79-62. Defense was really the story to this game. They can really shut teams down, and they did it again on Monday night. And that three ball, they can really hit the three-pointer. So that's why Jay Wright's team is champions again. Very different tournament, a lot going on, a lot of underwriting stories, so to speak. And, of course, with Sister Jean and Loyola, and you know, they lost to Michigan on Saturday before the national championship game. But what a great run for the Ramblers. Did you see Jerry Harkness? If you turned into the local channel, the Loyola channel, Jerry Harkness, the guy who was a guest on our show last week, was doing the color analyst work for the big network. So congratulations to Jerry. So it's Villanova. They are the champs. And after the game, Jay Wright talked about his championship team.
You know, I fear we're going to get beat until about 2-3 minutes left in the game. So now that it's over, I can look back and say that this was a hell of a team, man. These guys, the beauty of this team is they got better, each night. I feel like we played our best game in the last game. It didn't mean it was perfect, but it was our best game, our ability to adjust to what Michigan did. And as a coach, I just feel so blessed to be able to have these kids around me. You know, they're just wonderful kids to coach.
So a few years ago, you're getting crushed for not getting out of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. Now, again, this Villanova program is elite, the elite of the elite. What's that like?
It's a good feeling. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with getting crushed for, you know, I mean, we deserved it. It was something we had to deal with. That's what sports are all about. You can't be afraid to go out there and compete and fail. I was proud of our guys, but we just weren't getting past the second round. So, We still had great seasons, and it's nice that we get to enjoy this too. I would have been okay with that, honestly, but this is really nice, and especially when you share with great kids.
Dante's performance tonight was special. 31 points, 18 in the first half, carrying you. I want to know, does he get a starting spot next year now?
Yeah, he does, man, he does. And he was like a sixth starter all year, but it didn't surprise anybody on our team. It really didn't, because he plays like that all the time. He's unselfish. He knows. He's playing with Jalen and Mikhail. A lot of times that's not what we need. You know, we need the defense and rebounding. But Michigan did a great job on Jalen, great job on Mikhail, great job on Eric. And he was the guy. And thank God, man, he was amazing.
So a Philly guy, and I know you're a big Eagles fan. Pretty good duo here, a sweep of NFL championship, Super Bowl, and now a national title. What do you think it's like in Philly right now?
This is Philly's starting to get used to being winners, man. I don't know if we know how to handle this. I don't know how to handle this. We were all so comfortable being underdogs, you know. But after that Eagles victory, we've all been feeling good since the Eagles, and this one's definitely going to help the town. They'll party tonight.
That's Jay Wright, the coach of Villanova, as they win again. So congratulations. A Catholic University wins the men's championship and the women's championship, because if you didn't see it on Sunday, it was Easter Sunday, and Notre Dame won the women's national championship, a thriller against Mississippi State. What a win for the Irish. They hit a shot at the buzzer as time ran out to win the women's national championship. So UConn doesn't get it again. Everybody's kind of tired of UConn winning the women's championships. And this time it was Notre Dame. So it's Notre Dame, women's national champs, and Villanova, the men's national champs, as we put a final touch on college basketball for the year 2017-2018. But we're going to talk a little bit more about that and get some good analyst work from our analyst, our basketball analyst here on Catholic Sports Weekly, Todd Licklider. He's going to join us next as we continue right here on Catholic Sports Weekly.
Catholic Sports Weekly is underwritten by AAA Roofing Company, where they offer full-service professional roofing, including repairs and maintenance. They're a fourth-generation, family-owned business, equipped, trained, and uniquely qualified to serve your roofing needs. Using a professional roofer protects your roof, your building, and your investment. Information about AAA Roofing is available at 317-635-2928 or at www.aaroofingcompany.com. Sometimes two isn't better than one, but it's always better than none. What am I talking about? When we started our Audio Now dial-in to listen service, it was just one number to call. That was 641-552-5881. But because of high call volume and other issues, eventually there became a second number. That number is 605-562-9822. Now, in this case, because you have two phone numbers to remember, two isn't better than one, but it is better than none. So try this. Try both numbers. When you find the one that works for you, lock it in. Save it as a contact so you can make a quick call whenever you want, and just forget the other number. Yeah, I know. It's a bit of a hassle, but think about it. Catholic Radio Indy, loud and clear, on your cell phone, wherever you are, whenever you want it. The numbers again are 641-552-5881 and 605-562-9822.
And welcome back to Catholic Sports Weekly. I'm your host, Will Hampton, and we are underwritten by AAA Roofing Company in Indianapolis. With all this rain, maybe it's a good time to call AAA Roofing or go on their website at AAARoofingCompany.com. It's my pleasure, as always, to welcome our basketball analyst, Todd Licklider, to the show. Probably stayed up late Monday night watching some basketball. And what about Villanova? We heard from Jay Wright earlier in our show. That's a good man, isn't it? Jay Wright is. It's good to see good things happen to good people, and Jay Wright's a winner, and they won another one, didn't they?
I've always been impressed with Jay and what he's been able to do, and the way they play. Those two teams, though, I think I said this on an earlier show. Will, when I went to see the Purdue Michigan game, I was so impressed with the schemes they ran and how difficult they made it on each other, and they. Basically, they're both pretty good defensive teams, and they couldn't guard each other because of the spacing and all that. Well, Villanova is similar. And I was thinking back, I saw Butler-Villanova game. What a game that was. Butler just played, you know, out of sight and beat them at Hinkle. And I was thinking back, I don't know if a Butler team's ever beat the national champions before. So
that's interesting. I never thought about that either. You might be right. I don't know for sure, but I think it shows how close the, you know, really a lot of people talk about parity. And as good as Villanova was, I did pick them in my pool, so I won my family pool. Congratulations. Ding, ding, ding.
Congratulations.
But it was all because
my team was out the first.
Were they?
I told my family, I said, don't tell anybody. I'm supposed to know what I'm doing here. I'm supposed to be getting paid for this.
Yeah.
Now, I thought Wichita State. I just loved their versatility and all, and they got beat right off.
Wait, but you look at the parity across the board. I mean, while it ended up, you know, being a number one seed, Villanova winning it, it was really a fun tournament, wasn't it? When you go back to what Loyola did and with a 16 beating a 1 this year, it was a fun tournament that really kind of spoke of parity, didn't it?
Yeah, and we talked about this, Will, as far as one of the things that makes the tournament so enjoyable is that it's not the best of seven series. I'm not knocking the NBA, but I like that on a given night, you just have to be the best that night. That doesn't mean you've got to, you know, win in a series. A lot of times the more physical, the more talented team wins out if you're going to best of seven. But on that given night, there were half a dozen times when you thought, that's incredible. You know, the big shot that the young man hit from Michigan to send him over Houston. Loyola hit two or three like that. The Tennessee shot, the young man went down and shot it, and hit the front of the rim, bounced up and went in, and moved them on to the next round, you know, to the next one. So I think there's just so much excitement in it. You're pulling for those guys. Loyola was a great story. I told my son John, he was over here filling out brackets, which I don't do, but he was filling them out, and he asked me about Loyola. I said, well, they can space the floor so well, and they shoot so well, and then their big guy has room to work. So I think that's what the game's coming to, and they executed about to perfection.
Well, I remember years ago when I was doing television, I was covering Purdue, and there was when they won that stretch in the mid-90s, early to mid-90s, like three straight Big Ten titles. But then they just didn't do much in the tournament. They just kept, you know, they kept getting beat earlier, you know. And I remember when they lost, I was in Albuquerque with Purdue, and I think it was Georgia beat them there at the Pit when everybody was picking Purdue to maybe win the whole thing. And that
remember
was,
the first game?
I don't.
Who they played?
I can't remember. Who?
Western Carolina went right down to the wire. And the reason I know that, I'm pretty sure that's correct, Thad Matta was an assistant at Western Carolina. Huh.
Okay.
And they, you know, they got in, but they played them well. But it made me think about it. Again, one of those things where your matchups, one game. The other thing is when the team that's the favorite, it's close, it gets, you know, the other team gets a little bit looser, mm-hmm. that doesn't have the pressure. The better seed team, you know, they struggle because they start to feel pressure. But anyway.
I was going is Brad Miller. He was playing for Purdue then. And he was talking about how the style of the tournament is different than what the Big Ten used to be. Back then, it seemed like the Big Ten was kind of a, you know, a lot of big guys and kind of plotted up and physical, very physical. And then the Big Ten, or then the NCAA was more of a athlete-driven, run the court, big guy, finesse. And he felt Purdue needed to change what they were doing to be able to be successful. And I remember telling Gene Katie that he said that, and he was, and I wouldn't tell him. It was kind of a funny story because I wouldn't tell him who told me. I said, hey, one of your players just told me this. He goes, who was that? Was that a freshman? And I said, no. He goes, was it a sophomore? And I said, coach, I don't want to throw the kid under the bus. He was a junior. And finally he walked away kind of mad at me for not telling who the player was. But what do you see? Do you see a different game in the tournament than it is typically in conference play, or has that gap been closed now in the time? Is it all pretty much the same game, regular season and tournament? What do you see?
Well, I think that there are things that win in the tournament. And I saw somebody say, well, offense won with Villanova. And I do think, obviously, you have to be able to score, and you need to be able to score multiple ways. Nowadays, you have to shoot the three and then be able to score in transition at the basket or get to the basket someplace. Not a lot of post-up or anything. Mm-hmm. Although Purdue really countered that this year with their two big guys. And, you know, it'd been interesting if Haas hadn't gotten hurt. I mean, they just had a great year. And I thought Matt used his personnel so well. And they complemented one another so well. So you had an inside. They were a little bit unique. And I really was pulling for them. You know, and there's something. You don't have any control over that.
Yeah.
There's, you know, it's too bad. But I think that what wins when you want to advance is ball control, so you're getting good shots. If you've got guys that handle the ball well, move it well and all, and then your defensive efficiency, you know, as far as altering shots and being able to affect the offensive field goal percentage.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those things are really important. And you look at Michigan, you look at Villanova, yes, they can score. Their spacing is great. Their offense, but they also guard very well. So, and then the last thing I think is freshness. And I think sometimes, like with the Big Ten, especially back then, they couldn't be as fresh because it was so physical. You were battling every night. It was competitive and all. So by the time the tournament got there, you weren't as fresh as maybe one of those other teams. And I always felt like at Butler, we were really fresh. I felt like we was thinking about this the other day. We played Detroit and in 03 three times and won, and they were just great games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that prepared us for, I mean, Mississippi State and Louisville were very good, But they weren't a lot better than Detroit. But we didn't have that every night where you were just, you felt like you were exhausted physically.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you had to, I would think in the Big Ten, and because of the way it was, I would guess that played a factor as well, as far as just being
not being as fresh. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking with Todd Lickliter. He's former Butler coach, former coach at Iowa, Marion University, and now works with the Boston Celtics as a scout. And I wanted to talk with you a little bit about Porter Moser. He's the coach at Loyola.
How about that
got his team to the Final Four. And listen to the 2011-2012 was his first year at Loyola. He went 7-23. The next 2 years, the teams went 15-16, and then 10-22, and then finally they had a 24-13 team. But then they came back the next year and were 15-17. Don't you love to see a coach, Porter Moser? He was talking. I remember hearing something he said during this run. Somebody said, "Hey, is your goal to get to the Final Four?" And he goes, "He said my goal was to change the climate. My goal was to get people to actually come to our games at Loyola." He said there were games. He said when there were more people sitting on the seats and on the bench, the coach, the players, the subs, than there were in the stands this year. And he did. I think he's changed the culture. But to me, what that means is the school stuck with a guy like that. And nowadays, if you have three seasons like that, you're in trouble, aren't you?
Well, and it might take three seasons like that. We talked about that. Krzyzewski won 11 in his third year, and they gave him an extension. I heard Kelvin Sampson say after a game, one of the tournament games, that coaches win games, administrators win championships. They win, and you have to know what your vision is. And know if they're on track or whatever. You hired somebody because you believed in what they were saying. And the problem is, it just depends on what you inherit, what you're going through, and can you get to the culture that you need, as he said, you know, the environment of what you need. And that's the thing I thought at Butler was, we just had an environment that allowed us to not be up and down, but to keep winning and supporting one another and thinking we were going to win. And it just takes the right people all around. I've said this to you, I thought we had the best administration in the country, and Bobby Fong and John Perry and then Barry Collier. They just believed in what we were doing, and we shared with them what we were doing. And, you know, there's going to be ups and downs. But, yeah, it's neat to see Porter they stayed with him. And then they get the benefit of it, and it pays off. And I guess, you know, it doesn't always happen that way, but, it's refreshing. Let me put it that way.
Yeah. Do you think now, has he kind of blown his cover, so to speak? is now there more pressure that he has to try to do something like that again in the next couple of years, or do you think they'll stay patient with him, and even if they have another year or two?
Maybe he's turned it now, and that's the thing. And then what happens is you get people that buy in, and that's what he's got. And then I used to tell people it's not that somebody that didn't go to Butler or doesn't go to Loyola is not a good guy or a good player or whatever. It's just people fit differently in different situations. And you want to make sure that, and I used to tell our guys all the time, and Laval has used this at Butler, it's not the guys you don't get that hurt you. It's the guys you get that really don't fit in. They're not happy. You're not happy. Your team's not. So make sure that we do everything on the front end to let everybody know, this is the culture. This is what you're coming into. Here's your expectations. So that they sign up with, you know, fully engaged and committed. And that's what you end up having. I think that sometimes you'll have a player, as you're turning a culture, you'll have a player come on campus and you think he's the right guy. And he'll say, I don't fit in, as he spends time around and everything. And that tells you either he's not the right guy or what you've got going is not right.
Mm-hmm.
But at Butler, what we had was our players were our best recruiters. So when an individual came on campus, we'd know if he had the right attitude, the right approach, because they'd come and say, I don't think he'll fit in, or he seems like a Butler guy.
Yeah.
And that's huge. And I'm sure that's what Porter has now. And now I would think they just keep building.
And I think that that's something that can be learned from, and other coaches and other administrators can kind of look at it and say, okay, that worked there. Maybe it could help build a trend of being a little bit more patient. Do you think, or is it still so isolated?
I would hope so, but it also, I hear all the mid majors now, which I think Loyola is considered a mid major. Mm-hmm. We want to be Loyola. We want to be Butler. That's why I say Brad Stevens caused coaches a lot of problems.
Yeah.
The mid majors got, you know, it's because like, hey, we want to do this. Well, you know, it can happen, and you should be striving to do it. But you should also have other areas that you think are important. Like, we always felt like that we wanted our players to be really good citizens. We wanted them to be contributors on campus. We wanted them to work towards earning a degree. You know, honestly, you know, not just talk about it, but really be involved in that. So there were other things we were gauging, and we thought it contributed to our ability to succeed. But if we struggled on the court, we sure wanted to make sure those other things were intact, and we thought it would take care of itself if we did.
Yeah.
So it just depends on what you're looking for, your identity, and how you're going to gauge, you know, your success. And I think that's what's interesting about this one is, you know, they could have said, we only won 10 games. You're not trending the right way. We're going to move in another direction. But they probably had things that they were looking at beyond W's and L's, mm-hmm. and they said, we're making progress in those, and the court, we will win on the court eventually.
Yeah.
And they proved it.
Yeah.
I just don't know if everybody can do that, but it's sure fun to watch. It was fun to watch a Loyola, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was. It was great to see him get there, and of course, Sister Jean stole the show, and I bet Porter kind of...
Great.
Yeah, she was great, and I think Porter probably enjoyed that because that took a lot off him. People were interviewing Sister Jean more than they were him.
Yeah, he could concentrate on the other. I heard one of the players, I may have mentioned this last time, he said her prayers are partially scouting report too.
Yeah. Well, she was involved a lot, but I think he was able to kind of, you know, dissect what the information he needed and the information that was, you know, maybe something he wouldn't use, but that's okay. I'm sure you as a coach get a lot of that. Hey, real quickly, when you win, you know, a lot of times a loss, a key loss at some point, is a great teaching moment. You know, you can teach on that. I remember when the Colts won the Super Bowl, they lost a game late in the year to, like, Jacksonville where they gave up, like, 400 yards rushing or something. It was a crazy game. And it seemed to trigger the team, and then they made the run to win the Super Bowl. Is it sometimes easier to coach when there's something like that happens? Or can Loyola now use this, the winning, and it will be a different teaching moment for Porter and for that organization?
A process to, and I think I've talked to you about this, as far as, you know, initially you just want to get in the tournament, then you win the first, you know, what we said was we broke them all down, first round championship, so we wanted to win two games so that you didn't look at the whole tournament. If you looked at six games, it was kind of overwhelming when you looked at all that, but if you could just concentrate, and so they've learned what the process is and what the steps are. And now it's not so foreign to them. Plus, when you win, you get a lot of attention. It's hard to focus and all. So they've gone through that. And so now the returnees will help the new guys coming in, and it'll become an understanding. And that's what somebody was asking me the other day, why do you think Butler could win in postseason? Well, there's a couple things. We had ball control. We guarded really well. We were fresh, and we believed that we could. Mm-hmm. Then once we did it, then it was almost like, you know, that's the expectation, and the focus was not just getting in, but advancing. And so I think they're probably there's no way it can be a negative. Let me put it that way.
No, and the admissions staff loves it, don't they?
Oh, I mean, my goodness. Well, did you see the team, University of Maryland, Baltimore County, beat Virginia?
Yeah.
They said their bookstore sales they had to suspend it. They couldn't get them out fast enough.
That's amazing.
It's so exciting. You know, we experienced that the first time we went to the Sweet 16. And then I can't even imagine what it was like. I wasn't around with the Final Four trips. But it's just, it's fun to see people get on board. And one of the things I love about the Butler fans is that, you know, they were on board then, but they don't drop off. They don't, they're loyal.
Yeah.
And that is so nice.
Well, I think you should, you know, I'll give you some credit for that. Guys like you and Barry Collier and Thad Mata, you built what is there today. You helped build it, and there's a lot to be said for that, don't you think?
Well, I'm very thankful and for the opportunity. I'm proud of, you know, and one of the things that I'm proud of is that I was able to hire Brad and Laval and work with them, and now to see their success and Laval carrying it on. Yeah, it's gratifying.
Yeah.
So eventually that's what it's about. You're not going to do something forever. So you hope you pass a few things on and then they do the same and, it continues.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of pride in it. And Barry really laid the foundation, no doubt about that.
Yeah. Well, Todd, thank you. Hey, we'll do this again in a couple of weeks, and we'll shift to NBA. We'll really focus on the NBA the last part of April.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Boston's sure playing well.
Yep,
went out on the road and won 4 in a row. So we'll talk about it. Sounds great.
All right.
Well,
that's Todd Licklider, our basketball analyst. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more Catholic Sports Weekly right after this timeout.
Catholic Sports Weekly is underwritten by AAA Roofing Company, where they offer full-service professional roofing, including repairs and maintenance. They're a fourth-generation, family-owned business, equipped, trained, and uniquely qualified to serve your roofing needs. Using a professional roofer protects your roof, your building, and your investment. Information about AAA Roofing is available at 317-635-2928 or at www.aaroofingcompany.com.
Back to close this week's edition of Catholic Sports Weekly, and with a reminder, put May 22nd on your calendar. I know it's raining like cats and dogs right now, but let's think golf. The Catholic Radio Indy Golf Outing is set for May 22nd at Plum Creek. Mass will start today. I love this event because you get to go to Mass at 11 a.m. right there in the clubhouse, and then the tee time is at noon. So soon, very soon, you can go to CatholicRadioIndy.org, get all the information, and get ready to tee it up at the Catholic Radio Indy Golf Outing May 22nd. So we'll hear you next week, or you'll hear me, on Catholic Sports Weekly. God bless you.
You've been listening to Catholic Sports Weekly with Will Hampton, the program that looks at area Catholic sports and the positive impact they have on athletes, coaches, supporters, and fans. Join us each Tuesday and Friday afternoon here on Catholic Radio for Catholic Sports Weekly.